The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
You know, like Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club, this is what we do.
Super Kid Putty, it's Japan!
I'm going to change the way people look at this industry. I'm going to change the way people look at sports entertainment. And I'm going to change the way people look at every other NXT superstar. Because in their eyes, there's only one Kyle O'Reilly. And seeing is believing.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 258, part 2. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place where you go find all your great wrestling needs, plus a lot more. Also, we're brought to you by 411mania.com. And to let you guys know, if you want to come find us anywhere on podcasts or wherever, when it comes to, you know, maybe Apple Podcasts or, I don't even know, Podcast Addict. Maybe you go to that place, you need to go ahead and subscribe right now to Wrestling to the Max. Or the W2M Network, whatever suits your fancy. If you love everything of the W2MNet.com family, W2M Network, it's a perfect place to go because it gives you everything that we do under the sun, plus all the other great podcasts in our network. Also, just to let you guys know, we're on YouTube as well. Search out Wrestling to the Max, and you'll right there get available in any time you want all of our shows. So, hey, another way of getting a hold of us and finding out all the great wrestling content that we try to provide to you week in and week out. Of course, you know, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And still on vacation, Paul Leeser. So he will not be with us tonight, but I'm sure he is enjoying his beach time and hanging out and just relaxing, soaking up the rays, Sean. I'm a little bit jelly right now.
Yeah, it's always nice to just go on vacation, forget about stuff, and yeah, I'm a little jealous too, you know. Would be nice to be doing that, not going to work.
You're telling me, man. Oh boy, would it be nice to have a week off, and you know, I'm really looking forward to my vacation coming up. It can't come soon enough. If it could happen tomorrow, I'd be in heaven, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, we're here, and I'm so glad that we're able to do this thing and get things, you know, kicked off with some great quick hits this week. Of course, we got some big news when it comes to not only Paige, but another star that was going to join WWE that will no longer be joining. So we'll be talking about that, plus some other interesting stuff that is coming out of the world of wrestling that you guys are not going to want to miss. Also, we'll be talking about some Impact Wrestling. Yeah, that's right. They had a show this week that was kind of interesting. Also, we're going to be crowning a superstar of the week, you know, so that's something else we'll be offering out tonight. One thing we won't be doing tonight is Lucha Underground, and you know, we kind of did the same thing when it came to the Tuesday show when we didn't do Ring of Honor. And it's because, you know, Paul is usually one of the big features on Lucha Underground along with the Ring of Honor stuff. And so we're going to save it, and we'll be getting into that discussion next Thursday. So we're just going to give you a double dose of Lucha Underground next Thursday. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, me and Sean will probably have lots of stuff in Quick Hits to talk about to kind of fill that time anyway. So you're not really missing a whole lot. You'll be getting all that great content eventually. Oh, man, I'm just ready to get into the show. Before I do, Sean, I just got to say, you know, we've been busy. Lots of different things going on in our lives, but another thing that is joining our lives is the American football that we so much love and adore. And I know you and I are Dallas Cowboy fans, and a lot of our listeners may be, you know, fans of different teams around the country or, of course, you know, just football fans in general. As happy as I was to see my Cowboys, you know, come in and have a great, you know, first game of the entire season, I'm just glad football's here in general.
Yeah, Cowboys won a game that didn't mean jack, but still cool that, you know, we got to see some nice plays from people, and we'll see what happens when we get to the official week one of preseason. But, yeah, it was nice to have football back, and you know, soccer's been going strong throughout the summer. Of course, next summer is the time that everybody pays attention to soccer with the World Cup going on. But, you know, now it's all about getting that World Cup qualifying finished and everything else. So it's just between that and football, man, it's going to be, for, at least for me, it's a sports going on constantly, really.
Yeah. Poor Sean's going to have watched like three different screens to keep up with everything.
That's the nice thing. At least you can do that if you need to now. It's just hard to pay attention to all three at the same time. So that's kind of what's been happening with the G1 is I'm sorry for not having G1 episodes while Paul's been gone. It's just basically, again, it's that whole having to work 40 hours compared to having to work like 20 to 25 is a big difference. And you're getting home at like 7 o'clock at night. And basically as soon as I get home, eat dinner, it's already time for SmackDown to be on. It's already time for, in this case tonight, it was time for the Hall of Fame game to be on. And then the women's national team is in a tournament that just ended today. And that went on during the game was going on, so it's pretty much impossible for me to watch the G1. And, like, I can't stay up after we get done with all this stuff because I have to be at work again at, like, 8, 9 a.m. So, you know, it's difficult. It's a lot easier when Paul can be the guy that sort of really, really pays attention, and I can kind of just, you know, be a host and guide us through when I'm having to really, really pay attention and try to remember everything because I've got to talk about myself. Mm-hmm. It's so much harder, and it's just, I'm not trying to cop out for doing that because Paul did a good job on the one he did by himself before he left. It's just, it's just hard, Gary, like just to come home and go, okay, I'm going to spend 3 hours watching these two shows to do a recording, and then I also gotta, you know, I have another guy that's not you waiting on me to do SmackDown on 205 Live who also can't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, that takes precedent, and then by the time we're done, I'm dead tired. So,
yeah,
you know,
too much.
I hate it. It's a grind, and I hate it, and I hate that, you know, because Paul's on his vacation, I wasn't able to continue that by myself. But maybe tomorrow when I get off work, we don't have anything to record. Mm-hmm. I could sit down and watch some of these shows. And I think Paul gets back on Saturday. Maybe we can just do a huge Sunday catch-up thing.
Yeah. Hey, and that's not a bad idea. That's really not. And, you know, I don't blame you at all. I really, really don't. That's so much to have on your plate. So, I mean, I would take it by ease a little bit and figure it out. The G1, We'll be there, and of course, you guys, whenever you get a chance to do the show, it'll be great. So don't worry too much. I mean, I think everybody listening understands, and I think they'll be ready for the content when we get it out there, you know? So it's been crazy, you know, for you. I know for myself as well. So, I mean, you know, hopefully things will settle down a little bit here, and we'll be able to, you know, get into all the content that we can. But, let's go ahead and jump into what we got tonight, though, Sean. We've got quite a bit to talk about. So why don't we go ahead and dive into some quick hits right after this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All right. Take it away.
All right. Well, Sean, you're going to be very disappointed in this piece of news. NXT, you know, they no longer have Ho-Ho Loon on their roster anymore. They've released him.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you about how I'm nonplussed about this news with Ho-Ho Loon. Look, the guy really shouldn't have been signed in the first place. We know this. We've discussed this. I'm glad that he got to be in the system, right? And got to learn and be better and be in the performance center and all that stuff. It's just, it was one of these that you're going, really? He was really bad at the Cruiserweight Classic. And you're going to sign him? Okay. You know, whatever works for you. It just, I'm surprised that he was stuck around this long.
Yeah, me too, honestly. You know, I know he's been in the Performance Center and trying to, I'm sure, improve his game. But, you know, sometimes there are certain guys that just don't work out. And I think he was a prime example of that. Really never impressed any time I saw him. So it makes all the sense in the world to me just to let him go ahead and move on and go find another path. You know, it seems like WWE is making a lot of decisions lately, and, you know, this is probably one of those cost-cutting measures we're seeing, you know, getting rid of guys that really just don't progress or guys you have nothing for. So we may be seeing future cuts like this, like Ho-Ho Loon. You know, we've seen WWE make some cost-cutting when it comes to their network programming and things like that, Sean. It seems like WWE's having to make these decisions based on the fact that they've got a lot of stuff going on. And not only that, they have costs that are ensuing when it comes to signing new big talent as well.
Yeah, it's just like I think we talked about this on Monday with the when it was coming into regards with the network programming. They're signing a lot of people, you know, and at some point you have to, like we talked about with, you know, a certain soccer player just signed a €222 million deal. Like he got bought out and this another team paid that much money for him. So he's making $1 million a week, Gary.
Wow.
Okay. Which is ridiculous for any kind of sports player. And he shattered the record. The previous record was like 100 and something. So think about now they have to sell other players in order to balance the books. And that's the thing that WWE's doing is they're trying to increase their profit margin. Well, how do you increase your profit margin? By cutting costs. And they did that by eliminating basically all the new shows on the network. Anything that costs them a bunch of money, they're taking that they don't have to have, they're removing that. And then pretty much guys like Ho-Ho Loon that perhaps are in the Performance Center and aren't showing any promise and aren't improving, we're going to cut you. You know, I don't know if it's going to extend mm-hmm. any main roster talent or whatever because really – yeah, there's people that are still on that roster, on those rosters that are not being used. But, you know, I think you're going to see more of this. You're going to start seeing more NXT cuts for guys that aren't doing a whole lot because they have to find some way to stop hemorrhaging on all these signings that they're making. And it's, you know, it's one way or the other. It's either you got to stop making new signings and just deal with what you have or start selecting through who you have and going, okay, we don't need him, we don't need him, we don't need her, we don't need her. And, you know, and that, and this may affect the Mae Young Classic too. You know, Harry, we talked about that it's because of the look thing. It may not be the look thing at all. It may just be that they can't afford, if they want to increase profit margin, to be signing half the people in the Mae Young Classic. They may have to just say, you know what? Listen, this thing's over. We're going to sign like five of you. Y'all are going to be in NXT, and that's what we're doing. Sorry that we cannot sign most of you. It's just, it's not going to work out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, that's okay. In NXT, they can get people on their television without even having him as a full-time person on their roster. I mean, you think of Santana Garrett and people like that who pop in here and there, right? And right. don't have an official contract with NXT. So there's nothing wrong with some of these Mae Young class, you know, contenders coming in and, you know, basically making a one shot, you know, here on there on TV and not really being a full-fledged member of the NXT roster. That's the great thing. You know, you don't get that on the main brand. You don't have those opportunities where you can just have somebody just show up out of nowhere, you know? So, I mean, that's the positive thing about NXT. And of course their UK guys that they have, they put their, you know, a lot of investments in a lot of different areas. And
yeah, it's, and that really might be another reason that the UK show hasn't started, because that's another cost that they would have. And so instead they're bringing them in to do NXT takeovers and doing, you know, the tapings after the takeover and all that stuff to at least get them some dates with WWE and then just paying them a salary and then they still get to work indies. So they're really getting the best of both worlds. Do you want to have that WWE UK show? Sure, I'm sure they do. But it's not like they're sitting there hurting because they're not getting the WWE UK show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. You know, I think for the most part, WWE's kind of come to the conclusion that they've got so many different people that they're paying. They've got to be a little bit more smarter with their money and understand that they can only get so much back with only, you know, a limited amount of hours on television. And of course, you know, by using other places like live shows and different things that they got going on in that format. So, you know, this is something that you kind of have to kind of step back and look at and say, okay, I get where WWE's coming from. It sucks if, you know, some of my favorite people may be, you know, left out in the cold and cut, or, you know, maybe they don't go sign a guy on the indies that I just think that they'd be perfect. Well, maybe that they've kind of signed up their indie guy, you know, budget, and they're going to have to wait, you know. It's really, really interesting. You know, WWE spent so much money lately. I just thought they had a bottomless pit of money, but I think we're coming to the reality is that's not true. And, you know, they are now kind of finding out that, yeah, you can't just go sign everybody and anybody. It just is not going to work that way. So,
especially if you're going to have them in your developmental kind of sitting there.
Yeah. Well, think about the NXT, you know, basically, for the NXT title, you have five or six guys right now in that picture, which is kind of crazy because you have guys under those six guys that really they should have a shot too. And there's just not enough room because there's too many big names in that main event picture on NXT. So,
as it has been for a long while at this point.
Yeah, that's true. For very, very true. So I think the WWE is still going to make the decisions of signing some of the better talent in wrestling. It's just the fact that now you may not see as many guys as we once did.
Yeah, that's okay, because that creates them focusing on the talent they have.
Yeah, that's true. They need to do that a lot. You know, they've protected themselves in this area. Like when big injuries come up, they've got guys to fill spots, right? And that's the positive thing. But, you know, when you don't have as many injuries, you got stuck with a lot of guys who are just kind of doing nothing because, well, guess what? There's just not enough room. So it's a catch-22.
Right. It's like the, you know, decision, the going back to us talking about the Cowboys at the beginning, they made the decision to just let all their veteran backfield go and go, all right, we drafted and brought in, we have this young talent here, we're just going to go with them. And so, mm-hmm. you know, perhaps this is how you really test the strength of the performance center, is you go, all right, we're putting a cap on the signings. You guys that are here, you gals that are here, y'all really got to show that this performance center is doing stuff. It's up to you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they're going to want to see some rewards for all the investments that they put in. And, you know, that they're trying to do it and they're trying to get it right. And, you know, let's see if it, you know, comes to fruition for them and see where they're at, you know. So
yeah.
I'm very happy that WWE's done what they've done right. I love the fact that we can get a chance to see a guy like Adam Cole. We've already saw guys come in, you know, other guys that we really
Kyle
wanted to
O'Reilly.
See. Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly. You know, even guys like Aleister Black. You know, different people that have popped up off the indie circuit that were big names that we wanted to get in and get a chance to see in front of a NXT or WWE crowd, and it's happened. But now they may have to be a little bit smarter. So we'll find out, though. A big name that we wanted to see, Sean, is not coming over to WWE, and that is Io Shirai. WWE has decided to pull the contract they had offered Io Shirai, and that is simply because she injured her neck. And she is not going to be able to compete with WWE simply because she's deciding not to have surgery. That's just part of this equation, right, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, they told her to rehab her neck. She did. And then WWE kind of got cold feet because the medical showed that the neck injury was kind of bad. And WWE kind of had already made the decision, probably a while back now, that they're not going to bring in people that have neck injuries or a long history of concussions before they even come into WWE, because guess what? They already come in with a limited shelf life. And if she hurts her neck bad enough, and you're falling on your neck a lot, you know, in wrestling, there's, you know, we saw John Cena take a bad fall on his neck. That could have been disastrous. And, I mean, it doesn't even take something like that. It could be something a lot more simpler, a lot more normal. And Io Shirai messes up her neck so much she has to have surgery and she's out for like 6 or 9 months. And then WWE spent all that money and she didn't really even get to do anything. So I can kind of understand this from a perspective of, we see this all the time in sports, right? Like, why are you going to go for the health risk when you don't have to? You know, why are you going to put all this money into a person that could go out in a couple of weeks, get injured, and then you're back at the same spot you were? So, you know, I understand it, Duddy, from a business perspective, from a company perspective, but you are losing a wonderful talent in Io Shirai. You know, they could have, her and Kairi Hojo, Kairi Sane, could have had such great matches in NXT. Her and Asuka could have had great matches. It would have been awesome to see, but sometimes you don't always get what you want, right? And WWE had to make a business decision here, so Io Shirai decided, okay, look, I'm going to go back to Stardom, and I'm going to go kick ass in Stardom, and that's what she's been doing.
Yeah, you know, and if that's her decision, you know, good for her, right? I mean, let her make those, you know, is about her own personal health risk and all. It's just a shame. It really is. And I think all of us were really hoping to see what she was going to get with WWE and see, you know, her on this stage like that. But I mean, you know, you got to let people make things, basically things happen the way they want to have them, because they'll never be happy unless they do. And maybe she didn't want to face surgery. Maybe she kind of looked at it as a negative for her personally, for maybe a few reasons. I don't know those reasons. I'd rather have the surgery, but yeah, fear sometimes with that kind of stuff too. To hear what you're going to, you know, the doctors are going to say. Maybe they're going to say, "Oh, you're you know, close to retirement or something like that because of your injury." So who knows why she doesn't want to, you know, go have the surgery? But you know,
well, I mean, you don't want to be out of action for. And I mean, I'm sure there is a downside there, on a downside guarantee in Stardom, but it's probably not anything like a downside guarantee you get from WWE, that you're, when you're injured, you get mm-hmm. a certain amount of money, right? So think about it from her perspective of, okay, well, I don't, if I have a surgery, I'm out 6 to 9 months. If I just rehab this, I could be out for like a couple weeks to a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's an issue, right? Like for her, she wants to keep working and keep doing all that. And, you know, money talks too.
It does, you know, and I get that totally. I just think the WWE, you know, that the kind of money that they offer and probably what they could, you know, offer in the future, to me, you know, seems like it would be the better choice. But yes, you know, that's also, you know, me saying that. I'm not the one out there competing, you know. She probably loves wrestling so much that it's not about where she's wrestling as long as she is wrestling.
Yeah, but I think it's more about the health risk in general of her coming in with a neck injury, whether she had the surgery or not, right? Of just having it. And them saying, look, we don't want to deal with this right now. Like, you're coming in NXT, you have a neck injury. Okay, you got the surgery. You fall badly on that neck a couple of times, you could need surgery again, and you're out. And what if we're in this big program with you and Asuka or you and Ember Moon or whatever and you get hurt in the middle of that program, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something you got to think about. And again, like if WWE's trying to cut costs and be more efficient and everything else, you got to do big time background checks on these people that you're hiring and saying, okay, do we see any problems with concussions here? Do we see problems with back injuries, neck injuries that all it takes is one wrong fall and we're at square one again. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I recently heard Nia Jax talk about, you know, she had a car accident and, you know, she basically broke her collarbone and the doctor said, you know, if you keep wrestling, well, guess what? That's going to break again. You're probably going to break it before you know it. So she had to get, you know, a metal plate put in her collarbone to basically fix it and keep it together, you know, even through wrestling. And those are the decisions these people have to make, right? They have to kind of go and find their own way because you can get something done to protect yourself and maybe it's not what you wanted to, but it's what you did for wrestling. And mm-hmm. I think that's maybe what Io Shirai is looking at here too. Maybe she's not wanting to do it that way. She wanted to have her body heal in a different way and that's okay, you know. Yeah. It's her prerogative, her choice, you know. So
right.
You know, we're talking about WWE bringing in talent. Well, they brought in plenty of talent over the past, you know, year, few years now. And they brought in a lot of Ring of Honor talent. We're talking about Adam Cole just a minute ago. There's all these rumors he'll be here before you know it. We just saw Kyle O'Reilly debut. We saw Bobby Fish come in. Heck, I mean, Samoa Joe, you know, he's already on the main roster. You know, Austin Aries was a guy that came from Ring of Honor, too. There's so many different guys that have popped on over from Ring of Honor and made WWE, you know, and, you know, really have done a great job. And right now they've got a few Ring of Honor guys already, you know, working in NXT, you know, and we're about to see Donovan Dijak be another guy that'll debut, another Ring of Honor guy. Well, saying all that, there's really some thoughts going on that there could be a Ring of Honor group that will be put together on NXT television. Which, you know, could be interesting. I'm sure they won't call it the Ring of Honor group, but it'll be kind of funny to see them put together a group specifically, you know, of guys coming from that promotion. What do you think about that, Sean?
I think it's a neat idea, right? I mean, there's rumors that Sanity could be on the way up to the main roster as the people that are the ones attacking Fandango and Tyler Breeze's office. And so if you really do lose that stable or say, you know, it really just kind of goes by the wayside because the only person that stays is Nikki Cross, having an ROH, like former ROH guys stable, which I'm sure it will be called something else, in one group, I think is good. It helps people get to know them if they don't know them already. You know, it provides a cohesion, a group of people that know each other, that come from the same place, that kind of have the same ideals of what they want, and you express that on the TV, right? I mean, I don't know if Adam Cole's going to get signed or is he it's imminent, or if there's still a ways to go for that, or if he's going to get signed at all. But you do have Kyle O'Reilly, you do have Donovan Dijak, and you do have Bobby Fish so far. And you have Roderick Strong, too, who you could put in there. And there's four people to make a stable. And, you know, whatever they want to do as far as whatever Adam, if Adam Cole comes or not, you could do a stable like that of guys. It'd be interesting. I'd like to see what their motivations are and all that, but I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. You know, and I've followed these guys for quite a while, so it would be kind of fun, nostalgic to see them all together. I just wonder how they're going to do that, right? Are they going to say, hey, here is the Honor of Ring guys, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be terrible, but, you know.
You know, honorable jobbers or something.
Yeah, there you go. Joppers. Oh, man. But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, you got Red Dragon here, and those guys as a tag team, you know, reforming in NXT would be a blast, and maybe those guys would be a part of a group, right? Kind of a splinter off of it, and to kind of represent that Ring of Honor, you know, group. So, we'll see. It's something definitely to watch and see if it ever does come to fruition. Sean, there'd be something I think you may be having some interest in. Fight TV announced that they'll be airing All Japan shows, and that'll be for $4.99 if you want that kind of content. What do you think about that? That's kind of cool.
That's cool. That's cool that they're making All Japan shows more accessible. It's, you know, on that Fight TV app, which you can get pretty much anywhere you want, basically, except on a gaming system. You know, so it's a little bit harder to watch on your computer, but you can use Chromecast if you have it. And I like the idea. You know, $4.99 is not bad. They do house shows, and they also have their bigger shows. So you can decide how much you want to consume, and $5 a show isn't too bad, honestly. For the, like, 2.5, 3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours of content that you get. I do wonder how this affects the Real Hero Archive. I haven't looked at the Classic Japanese group to see if Eric has put out a statement about this or not. Normally what happens is if something becomes readily available, especially in a legal, you know, readily available in a legal manner, he stops posting on the Real Hero Archive, which is available for free, to watch Japanese wrestling. They don't do any New Japan shows, Stardom shows, because they have their own streaming service. You know, DDT shows now, they have their own streaming service too. So I'm glad to see All Japan is doing this, making deals directly so that it appeals to more markets. But yes, you will probably lose free access to All Japan shows because of this. So probably the only way you will get to watch current All Japan is to buy these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure, you know, it's content that you're going to want to spend money on anyway. It's going to be great stuff. And
yeah, they have great,
you know,
talent.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, there you go. I mean, that's enough to, you know, to warrant your $5. It's cheaper than even the WWE Network. So I think you guys will, you know, if you do want to check that content, it'll be ready and available on the Fight TV app, which is a really cool app. I mean, it gives you a lot of great stuff, and probably, you know, just a great place overall to get a lot of your wrestling content. So, and one last thing before we get out of quick hits, and this is another piece of news that a lot of people may consider great news. Paige has said that she is getting closer to being healthy and getting back from her neck injury. She's got a few more things to do, and then she should be back soon. I mean, Sean, this is something I've kind of honestly to myself thought that would probably never happen. She'll probably just, you know, find a way for WWE to release her. But she says she's coming back soon. That could be the reality. Do you think that's a positive or a negative? And what do you think about this overall?
Look, I think this was inevitable. I think if you thought that they were not going to at least bring her back before that movie, you don't see how this sort of works for them. Look, we can say what we want about the problems with Alberto, the incidents that have been going on, whether she gets charged for domestic battery or not, which that holds its own candle. to if it's really a big a deal. Now, we got to remember that also she supposedly only really threw a drink in his face. Is that really assault? Is that really battery? I mean, come on. And now, if she struck him, or if there's a history of striking him at home, or whatever that we don't really know about, personally, we don't have any facts on that, then that's another entirely different issue. And WWE can only go on the facts. And if she gets charged, and she gets sentenced, and she gets that on her record, WWE can decide, hey, we're going to release you, let you know. As soon as this movie airs, and it's out there, and it's been a couple weeks, or whatever, we're going to release you. If she doesn't get charged for anything, then yes, we know the incident happened. And yes, there might be some douchebags that decide to chant something bad at Paige because of her, the videos that leaked and all that stuff. But I think in the by and large, the thing with WWE is you're paying her money. She's been out of action also with a neck injury that she did surgery. She had surgery for. You need to find out if she is viable, if she is still a marketable asset to your company, if she is still a wrestler that you can use. If she's still out there after all this, comes back and sells merchandise, sells t-shirts, people really care about her, you can make a compelling story for her to come back. I guess we can talk about that too. And say, okay, Paige is back on this roster and she's going to help us. Then great. Great for WWE, great for Paige, great for all that. Now, if, you know, I don't know how much time she's got left on her deal. If she decides not to renew and then goes to GFW when that's done because she wants to be around Alberto, then go her, right? But she's got to understand also that they're probably not going to let Alberto in the building. That, you know, she's going to have a long-distance relationship with him. Is that okay? You're not going to be able to be at every event that he's at. You're no longer going to be able to just show up on Impact TV because you're now, again, on Raw, on SmackDown, on the pay-per-views, whatever. You just, she has to be conscious of that and understand that what's more important to you, your relationship with Alberto or having a job. And, not, I mean, look, again, this is Paige. She'll either get picked up by GFW really fast, or she could do whatever she wants on the indies, go back to Shimmer, do Shine, go to Stardom, do stuff in the UK with Progress. She can do whatever. She is Paige. She has a name. You know, she's going to get attention if she decides to just leave WWE altogether. Just, I think for WWE, from a business aspect, because again, you're cutting costs, right? You need to see if she gives you anything as far as marketability, bringing people to the building, selling merchandise, anything that tells you, okay, maybe we don't need it. Maybe, you know, we don't need to make her a big part of the show. We can kind of have her do backstage stuff and whatever. But I feel like they have to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be in their best interest to try, I think, possibly. But, you know, WWE's also thinking about the fact that, you know, she's really probably going to be moving on whenever her deal's up. And is it worth investing in her when she's probably going to make that move? And I don't know. I can't really answer those questions. I don't know what her personal thing is and, you know, what she's wanting to do herself. So, but I mean, overall, I mean, you know, it's giving her an opportunity to come back and to get back into the flow of things and do some positive things for the company. Yeah. I mean, why not? It's really awesome. It's just, I really question her motivation and if she wants to even do that. That's the big problem for
me.
Well,
I mean,
I think looking at her,
like, why would you come back? Why would you say you're coming back at all? Why not just sit out and wait out your contract? If she's saying she's super excited to come back, then she wants to come back, right? Like,
well, I would hope so. But of course, you know, that's where her payday is coming from, right? And you know, if she doesn't come back, she's breaking the contract. So,
not really. She can just decide to you know, do a Ryback and just wait.
Yeah.
And now, if WWE wants to freeze her contract or whatever, they can do that too. And then she's forced to come back, whether she wants to or not. But if WWE says, you know what, you're a problem, we'd rather not deal with you, we'll let you wait out that contract. And they could, if WWE didn't want to, and then they can decide that they don't want to. At the end of the day, Paige can say, I want to come back all I want, right? But if WWE says, look, right now, until that movie comes out for your family, about your family or whatever, we'd rather not have you on TV. And so, like, they just have her sit there, right? But, like, for me, I feel like they've kept her on through all this stuff that's happened to her. They're going to do something with her on TV again. I just feel like it's inevitable. They're going to. Again, they took her off Total Divas because that was just a liability they didn't need. They didn't want to have to deal with the Alberto and her stuff on Total Divas, make it a problem for other people, make them have to be in a situation where they might have to be around her and Alberto, right? Because there's a lot of scenes where their girls are all together doing stuff. And they may not want to, you know, lately, since like season one or two, we really haven't seen anybody that doesn't have a wrestler as a boyfriend be on the show anymore, because they don't want to deal with an outsider coming in and being on a WWE show and not really being able to control him. And so, like, that's an issue too. Like, they don't want to have to deal with that. So, there's a lot of variables here, but looking at it from a wrestling standpoint, let's say she does come back. Superstar Shakeup supposed to happen right after SummerSlam. Could she be one of the people that you surprise everyone with and go, oh, Paige is back, Superstar Shakeup. What brand do you think needs her more?
I think SmackDown would be a great place for Paige. I really do. I mean, not that Raw couldn't use her as well, but I mean, I think that her being on the SmackDown Live roster would really do them some good and really build that roster immediately.
Well, who do you send back in return then? Because Nikki Bella's about to come back. You're going to add an extra person to SmackDown, but you got to remember that, you know, and you're taking her away from Raw, even though she hasn't been on there. Who would you send back?
You know what? I mean, to be fair, I mean, there's several different stars here on that, you know, but I think the one person that I would probably send, and maybe either Becky Lynch or Charlotte to Raw to let them have, you know, somebody. And maybe Becky Lynch would be my personal choice.
Yeah, it feels like Charlotte just got there to switch her over again would feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's kind of what the shakeup is about, is if they feel that she's a better person for Raw, then that's what they're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, I could see it. You know, let's say Becky Lynch maybe turns heel and goes to Raw. Like, that's a good sort of refresh for her and the character. She's been Miss SmackDown, really, you know, since she was the first pick taken for the women on SmackDown and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be weird to see her go, but I feel like, yeah, you're right about, I mean, Naomi's been champion there. I don't think they want to send her. You know, Lana, they're not going to send Tamina. You already have Nia Jax over there, unless they're going to team up Tamina and Nia or something.
Yeah.
Like, Lana seems to kind of be getting her footing on SmackDown. I guess you could always send Natty if you really wanted to, just to have her switch sides, and you don't lose Becky Lynch, and you can kind of level out the star power there. But yeah, if you want to say somebody that could, that's really going to pay dividends, yeah, Becky Lynch wouldn't be bad, honestly.
Yeah.
The case I would make for her on Raw is that, like, again, Nikki Bella's coming. Raw probably needs another new face. and bringing Paige in to work with the Nia Jax or work with whoever's, work with Alexa Bliss, and, you know, maybe possibly have a match with Sasha or Bayley down the line. She could even renew something with Emma's. You know, they were the first that really started the Women's Revolution thing. So that's out there. She could go to either brand, honestly, and I think it would help.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Yeah, there's multiple options for them with Paige. Let's just hope that she allows them to do that and to make, these things kind of come true. I just worry about her motivation. But not only that, I worry about, Patron and his control over her and what he's going to maybe put in her mind. Is she going to come in and try, or is she going to come in and hope that they fire her? That's two different options that she's got right there alone.
Right.
So. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up Quick Hits for this week, guys. Of course, we have a lot more great Quick Hits, I'm sure, next week to really dive into. But now we are going to move on past this, and we are going to jump into some Impact Wrestling talk. We'll be doing that next.
TNA Impact Wrestling.
All right, Impact for this week here. And they begin the show with the video from the LAX Clubhouse of Konnan saying that he's in as they introduce their new member, and a new era of violence is going to start once again. So who's the new member, Gary?
Well, you find out after that big main event match where they had, of course, Patron and his family face off against, LAX. And the new member is Loki. Yeah, on the back of his jacket, that nice LAX logo sitting there. And so that's another big star to join LAX. It looks like they're getting even more firepower and, of course, probably going to cause Patron even more problems.
Yeah, I thought this match was solid. Just kind of between the ref bump and then Loki coming in and doing all that, it kind of took away from the match a little bit. You could have ended the match and have Loki show up afterwards to beat up the Alberto family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like Loki being in the group, though. I think Loki adds, first of all, he adds an X Division talent. I mean, you kind of have that also in Homicide. He can be X Division talent as well. But Loki's a proven guy in that division. And mm-hmm. So you know what he brings. Getting to say that he's now LAX, you already have a kind of the tag team scene done there with who you have. I forget who's the woman, the angel, something.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on her name, too. But I know you're talking about.
If she ever gets healthy, I think she's injured. She could be in the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to love when the site that you're using to read a recap is now deciding that they want to have ads that talk. But yeah. I apologize for that. But anyway, I like the move. I like the move of him being, instead of the Patron, which would have been kind of like, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I don't blame LAX for shooting high, right? Like, yeah. Aim for the highest guy you can get. But I like the move of Loki.
Yeah,
I do.
Loki is a good move. I agree. And, it's going to be something that makes LAX even more of a force to be reckoned with. And I think that's really good for Impact. I really, really do. Another thing before we, move on past this, though, I got to say is I do love the fact that, with Konnan kind of announcing that, it's going to be someone within Alberto's family or something like that, you have Patron really nervous and questioning his own family, his own brother. and saying, right. you know, can you really trust him? And so I like that. That could lead to some more issues down the line for Patron. I think that, you know, if they really wanted to kind of touch on that later down the line, that could be a big deal. So much appreciated. I think overall you get what you need out of LAX in this show, and they didn't overdo it, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I like the mystery putting in there. It's always good when you make people think twice about what you're watching, and they did that here with the Alberto questioning family and everything else. So they started, like I said, with a Super X Cup match, and it was Desmond Xavier against Drago. The winner of this faces Taji Ishimori and ACH, and they wrestle next week. The finals are on August 17th on the Destination X special, which is coming up in a couple of weeks here. You have Desmond Xavier doing a Rana. You have Drago doing a bunch of his strikes and doing a big cutter. You have big draping DDT by Drago. Then he hits another big DDT later. And then Desmond Xavier hits that final flash, and Desmond Xavier beats Drago.
Yeah, and it was kind of a surprise to me. I really kind of felt like Drago could be the guy, but both guys put in a lot of hard work in this one. This one was a lot of fun to watch. Trust me, I was excited through parts of this because of the fact that they gave, you know, a lot, and the work rate was very high. Desmond Xavier winning was a smart move, I think. I think he looked like $1 million at the end here. And, you know, he's got a lot of confidence about himself. I think that's a really positive thing, too. So I think great way to open the show. High energy and kind of a surprise to win the match.
It is surprising. I do think that it probably has to do with the fact that, you know, Drago is a AAA talent. Whereas Desmond Xavier, if he's not signed with Impact, GFW, he's a guy they could easily sign. Whereas Drago, there's no way, right? So you probably want to highlight a guy that you've signed. I don't know if they look at it like this, like the way WWE would. But, I mean, the same thing why we could probably might see ACH be the one that also makes it to the final on the other side. Because even if ACH... it hasn't signed, they probably feel like there's a bigger chance that ACH could, if say, hey, we're going to get you this win, we're going to get you the exhibition title, start you out that way, you know, what do you think? And, you know, put that pen to paper, but we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have a... after this, we have a Mumbai Cat versus Trevor Lee match, and of course Lee still has that stolen exhibition title around his waist. This was really short. Mumbai Cat freaking beats Trevor Lee.
Yeah, this is kind of fun to watch because, you know, Trevor Lee feels like, you know, he's going to face one Mumbai Cat and he's going to beat the crap out of him and he's going to come out of this smelling like roses. What's funny is, you know, the Mumbai Cat situation ends up being a switcheroo. And, you know, of course, we have, you know, a guy that, you know, surprises us all under that mask, beat Trevor Lee. Sanjay Dutt's that guy, and, you know, I think it was kind of a fun little thing. I think I think overall, you know, where you have, you know, Bruce Pritchard coming out and trying to, you know, cause, you know, Sanjay Dutt to stay in and leave poor old Trevor Lee alone, it made sense. I think Sanjay Dutt, everything he had to say on the mic made sense as well, talking about him being the, you know, the real champion and the fact that wants, you know, Trevor and all that stuff. So I think overall that's good, right? I just hate the premise. It makes no sense to me why Bruce Pritchard is protecting the guy that stole the exhibition title. I get it. Yes, they have
Bruce
to have Fisher's something.
The heel.
I still think it's kind of silly. Yeah,
Bruce,
he's supposed to be
Bruce
a heel,
Fisher's
but he's
the
got that
heel
gray area
GM,
thing.
So
yeah, It's like heel light, right? It's not even full blown heel.
Yeah, it's heel light, but it's still just annoying that we have to have heel authority figure in.
I agree. It bugs me because I'm like, okay, so what's happening? Is Trevor Lee giving him a handy in the back or something like that to kind of get to keep the title? All right. I'm just saying, why does he love Trevor Lee so much? And he doesn't let anybody else get away with anything, but Trevor Lee, you can do whatever he wants. It's kind of weird to me. So
maybe he just likes him, you know, like just, hey, you're awesome talent. I want to help you out. We'll find out. I guess sooner or later. So we get Joseph Park making sure that Grado wins so he makes some money so that, you know, he and Laurel could get married. You have Eddie Edwards taking on Eli Drake. Congo Kong attacks Eddie Edwards backstage, and we don't get a match. Congo Kong is just killing Dick Justice as well, as Laurel's getting really upset. And yeah, Laurel's not really happy about it.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing is interesting for the fact that, you know, that it's kind of a funny thing, that the sketches are kind of hilarious at times, and it's a little cheesy, you know, but it's weird in a way. The Congo Kong thing, and it's not like he's going to tell us why he's upset. I mean, if he wanted to marry her, why don't he get on his knees and put a ring on her finger? That's what I want to know. Is he mad because of that? That's the only thing I would assume. But, I mean, are you going to have Grado really face Congo Kong to win Laurel Van Ness? I don't know. Maybe that's what they want. But that just sounds a little silly to me. I just don't like it too much. But, you know, maybe this is something they're trying to work with, and maybe they feel like this is a positive thing. I just don't think it's that great of an idea.
I don't think it's the best idea either, but it's DFW.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, and, you know, and here's the other thing. They're throwing, you know, the Alley and I'm blanking out her husband's name already.
Braxton Sutter.
Braxton Sutter, yes. They're throwing him, and Allie is, it feels bad for Laurel Van Ness, and she wants to help her, and every time, you know, Braxton Sutter drags her away, no, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. So it's almost like Braxton Sutter's all of a sudden a heel now. Out of nowhere. So I don't get any of
he's
that.
He's being
like
the overprotective boyfriend. Or
I guess so.
Husband.
Or he's like, I can't fight a guy that big. My manhood will show, you know? Things like that, you know? It's just, it's so sad. I just don't understand.
It's shrinking
it.
Before your eyes every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know. It's just sad.
It is sad. But they just find dumb ways to involve people in these stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, why? So they do have a match that coincides with this why Grado needs to win thing. And it's a suicide Grado and Braxton Sutter against KM, Mario Bocara, and Falaba. Just Falaba, Mario Bocara, man. Let me tell you how much I care when these two guys are wrestling. This was really just here so that Grado could get the win and they could keep the storyline going. And Grado actually gets the pin here as well. Then you have Grado calling out Laurel Van Ness. She shows up with Joseph Park, but Congo Kong shows up and then beats the crap out of Grado. Then you have Braxton Sutter taking Allie away, as Gary mentioned already. And, yeah, just, oh boy.
Yeah, this is just the repeating. And I mentioned it earlier, and it happens again in this show. Braxton Sutter dragging Allie away. You know, Congo Kong doing his thing, taking people out, you know, and you know, that means that we got to have Grado scoot out as well, too. And, you know, I mean, I understand that, you know, you got these kind of things because you got to have someone to kind be the foe against Greg for Vanessa and all that kind of stuff. And this works to an extent. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's just not entertaining to the point where I just love it or won't even.
I like
about
the
it.
Grado and Lil Vanessa like stuff, like those two interacting. Just the other things around it, I don't care about. Like, I think it helps Grado's character. He's funny. Like, it's kind of cute. It's kind of like the nerdy guy is getting the girl, but she has problems, but there's this douchebag in the way, they won't let her be with him, and whatever, and eventually it's probably going to lead to him finally, I guess, just bucking up to Kongo Kong and beating him up, or winning, or whatever, and she winds up with him, or something. And that's fine. It's like the two kind of awkward people getting to be together eventually, like, that has a kind of neat story to it. It just, I don't care about any of the other characters around this. Just
You know, the best part about it is the fact that those two alone have such funny sketches. I mean, Finesse and Grado both are kind of, you know, goofy characters just by themselves, right? I mean, so that's what's so great about this. I want eventually for them just to have that wedding, get married. And I think it'd be funny if they kind of made a little deal where they were supposed to have a baby, right, together. That'd be even funnier. I think what would be even better is if, like, they had a little baby that they showed, and it was Jeremy Borash's head on the baby.
Oh, God. So, oh, Lord.
I think that'd be great. Yeah, that little Josh Matthews, one of the two.
Oh, Josh Matthews would be awful. Like, who wants those jeans?
Oh, man.
Like, maybe JB, you know, you'll get some great announcer talent, but Josh Matthews, oh Lord. Okay, so we do have the Grand Championship match that has been kind of brewing here between EC3 and Moose, and this one is close here, as EC3 wins round one after EC3 kind of just fights off Moose and sort of controls that round. EC3, you know, hits a big exploder at one point in the second round. You have Moose hitting a drop kick and hitting that game changer, and Moose wins 29-28 on round two. Then in round three, you get EC3 going to the floor. EC3 crotching Moose. EC3 hitting the one percenter. Hits the running knee thing. Hits that. EC3 basically just kind of took over in that round three and had most of the offense, but some issues here for both guys in the scoring. Makes it a split decision, which gives the belt to EC3. A 10-10 tie from Dutch Mantel, a 10-10 tie from Scott D'Amore, and a 10-8 for EC3 by Bruce Pritchard, since Bruce Pritchard gave EC3 the 8, or the 10, sorry. You now officially have a new grand champion. And the only thing I like about this is EC3 has the charisma and all that to make this sort of title matter now. Unlike with Moose, it's just, I still can't stand this title. And I do like him later showing up and him saying, him doing that, he wants to celebrate with the title and he wants to get on the party bus. See, that's where Paul's been the whole time. Paul didn't tell us he was going on the bus with EC3.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it is his close personal friend, so. But he loves the championship and he wants to give it a kiss, and it's just so goofy and silly that, like, you had to laugh, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that little segment there with EC3 was a lot better than the stupid match. I cannot stand this grand championship. I don't like the way they do the matches. I don't have any interest in it. Zero. So hopefully they'll, you know, evolve it and do something else, but it's just a shame. It doesn't work. I just, But, you know, that grand championship hopefully will eventually evolve and do something else. But until then, we get stuck with it. Hey, and at least while EC3 is the champion, maybe we'll see less of it.
Yeah, let's hope so. Because EC3 is awesome. And, you know, let's hope that things continue on for this man. But that's it. That's your Impact Wrestling, GFW Impact Wrestling for the week.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, once again, in a show that had some highlights, but you know, there were a few points where you're just like, oh boy. So, all right, guys, well, we are going to move on and do one last thing tonight, and that is crown a superstar of the week. That's right, we'll be right back with that.
Superstar of the week.
Sorry, there was a little delay with it wanting to play.
Hmm. Yeah, it just it wanted to jump around. I don't know why. well, guys, we got 1 point heading over to AJ Styles.
Yeah, AJ Styles had a really good match with Kevin Owens, redeeming themselves from the kind of lackluster match at Battleground. And, yeah, AJ's still yo champ, man.
I got to give a couple points here to a guy that I just adored this week, and I adore him most weeks anyway, Aleister Black. He had a big NXT match this week against Kyle O'Reilly, who debuted. So I just, you know, I think 2 points is very appropriate. You know, I would have put him higher, but there were some other guys that got in a little extra over him. So we got 3 points going into Nakamura, Sean.
Yeah, Nakamura had a great match with John Cena in the main event of SmackDown. It delivered like you would expect it to. Yes, you had the incident where Nakamura dropped Cena on his head on the reverse exploder, reverse power slam, whatever. But, you know, they apologized after the match, and it is what it is. But let's not take away from the fact that Nakamura got a huge win over John Cena clean.
Yeah, for sure.
And he gets to go for that WWE Championship now.
Well, there you go. See? There's more than one thing to be looking forward to with that one. We get 4 points moving into Kota Ibushi's lap.
Yeah, Kota Ibushi had a great match with Hiroshi Tanahashi on night 11, I think it was. Kind of with a lot of callbacks to their previous match a few years ago in the G1. Just great stuff. A match you should well go out of your way to see. And he also had a good match against Fale as well earlier in the tournament. Or, I mean, during this week of the tournament, yeah.
Okay. And, well, that means, Sean, we got one more guy on the list, and he is our superstar of the week. Getting 5 points, it is Ishii.
Yeah, Mr. Tomohiro Ishii, Mr. Super Consistent, Mr. I Breathe Out 4 stars, Made of Cement, whatever you want to say about Ishii. He has been wonderful in the Sherman as always. He had a great match with Tetsuya Naito. And then and most recently had a great match with Yuji Nagata as well. And just such this man has been awesome. And Nagata has been awesome as well, bringing it in his matches. That combined for a terrific match here from the two guys. But Ishii takes the points for having 2 great matches in 1 week.
There you go, guys. Well, Ishii, congratulations. You are the superstar of the week. And, guys, I mean, this was a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great stuff on this show tonight. I just want to say, of course, you know, we're excited about having Paul coming back. I know he had a week off from this. And, of course, he'll be probably surprised by our picks for Superstar of the Week. I'm really kind of curious if he was going to say, hey, I would have added this one or I would have taken this one away. That's what's fun. Sometimes when you don't have the other people involved in this discussion, sometimes you just don't know, but that's the fun of it. But yeah, I mean, we had a lot of fun tonight. We definitely, of course, look forward to catching you guys next week on our episodes 159, part one and part two next week, along with all our other great review shows. And how do you get those if you don't know? Well, guess what? Just go to W2Mnet.com. You'll find them there. Or maybe you just want to go ahead and find us wherever you get your podcast, maybe Apple Podcasts. Go rate, subscribe, and review. And make sure you give us those 5 stars at Wrestling to the Max. And if you want everything over there at the W2Mnet.com family, W2M Network. And also, YouTube, make sure you go subscribe there also. You get all your great content, however you guys want. We definitely want to provide all of it to you guys. We're find every way possible to get that information out to you guys and all the content that you can handle. Well, I am Gary Vaughn, and he is Sean Garmer. And Sean, we are done tonight, so I guess we will bid everyone a fair adieu.
Later, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.